The World Summit on the Information Society was to be the international development community's biggest internet event ever, demonstrating unquestionable global commitment to advancing the knowledge society and initiating concerted action towards that end. And if I had any personal doubts of its potential, virtually every project pitch I had heard or made over the past year came complete with a "we'll launch it in Geneva" punchline. Of course, it also met with its share of skeptics. Indeed, more than a few of my colleagues who are deeply involved in issues relating to the internet and social and economic development decided that their time would be better spent working at home or relaxing on a beach. But, as some are wont to say, size matters. And so, from a pragmatic perspective, the event was simply too big to miss. Here, at the Berkman Center, while a few colleagues and I were discussing our upcoming trip, we hit upon the idea of dedicating an edition of the cutting-edge MIT press journal, ITID, to the summit. With the inevitable confusion associated with such a massive undertaking and so much potentially at stake, we decided it would be valuable to offer an impartial academic space to collectively process the summit's meaning and outcome, thus helping to set the direction for Tunis. What we didn't realize, though, was just how challenging our modest project would be. Before even looking at the actual summit issues, there were subtle inklings of foreboding organizational problems. They began with the not insignificant confusion over what to call the summit. Nobody seemed to know if it was WUSIS, WISIS, WISIS, WESIS, or something else altogether. And while the landmark inclusion of civil society representatives in the official proceedings was a truly novel and exciting development, nobody knew what it would mean in practice. In fact, on what might appear to be a superficial level, the list of participants in the summit preparatory process was so diverse that any realistic statement of their consensus defied imagination.
Where do all these people come from? Huh?
In Geneva, I bumped into scores of people I already knew and met many others. We worked, ate, laughed, lamented, and brainstormed. Partnerships were born before my very eyes in the way that only seems to occur when meeting for work or cocktail parties. On more than one occasion, I witnessed the first face-to-face meeting of people who had communicated electronically for years.
I have to come all the way across the country to see you, and we only live a few blocks away from each other.
I felt that on the basis of these instances alone, the summit was nearly worth the expense. I later learned from one of our hosts, the International Telecommunications Union, that there were over 11,000 delegates, plus thousands more who attended the ICT4D platform, which focused on the use of information and communication technologies for social and economic development. Delegates came from across sectors, officially representing 176 states, about 100 businesses, and over 500 international and non-governmental organizations. There were approximately 50 heads of state and 1,000 media representatives, although you wouldn't necessarily have known this if you were following mainstream media coverage. And if the guests and numerous official offerings themselves, plenary sessions, appearances by heads of states, seminars, panels, workshops, public fora, festivals, symposia, presentations, side events, and hundreds of exhibitions in the ICT4D platform weren't enough, there were approximately 300 additional summit-related events. With so much happening at so many levels, there was truly something for everyone. As a matter of fact, there was far too much. It was not unlike going to a wedding of all your friends and family and trying to decide whom to talk to while putting together a dinner plate from a gourmet buffet table the size of a football field. By the end of the summit, I had more or less figured out my way around Palexpo and decided how to pronounce WISIS. But I was still hard-pressed to explain what had really happened that week in Geneva. What was WISIS really all about? Which takes us back to the ITID journal project. We made the call for participation as public and as inclusive as we could. We sent repeated email to all registered WISIS delegates, expanded the invitation to people who didn't attend the summit, and distributed hundreds of flyers in Geneva. By early February, we were inundated with well over 100 submissions from around the globe, ranging from a few hundred words to many thousand, and espousing a tremendous range of views. These reflections would help form the memory of our time in Geneva while beginning to chart a course for Tunis. But my co-editors, Michael Best and Ernie Wilson, and I quickly realized, however, that writing history is a significant responsibility.
Okay, I think we're all here.
Okay.
Yes, okay, hello.
Are you guys here in Ecuador, or is that just me?
It was technically challenging at times, but our priorities remained clear.
You know, we obviously want to get balance in this issue. One of the balance issue is topics. A second balance issue is regions.
In addition to the variety of the other sorts of diversity that we discussed, I think it's nice to have a diversity of sort of tone from the more academic pieces to the more conversational pieces.
Perhaps I should say our priorities became clear during the course of our many, many conversations.
Also, I will give Tanya a list of topics. I mean, I've got technology, education, divide, civil society, and maybe start breaking it out that way so we can have a sense of whether we need to go back and ask some other categories. Human rights, governance,
IPR.
I don't recall anything that has a particularly strong Africa flavor.
If you consider that, you know, any number of people noted, you know, sort of the top four issues as they saw it, and open source stuff was one of those issues, and we don't have very much on open source. I think if we can do that, I'd be totally open to it.
I mean, why don't we see if we can get it down to the top 15, and then let's look at the balance issue and then revisit the pile.
Even though the quest for balance seemed endless at times, it went much further, as we realized it wasn't about who the author was, but what they were saying. Should it matter whether we supported or questioned their arguments? Did an alternative perspective merit a platform simply because it was alternative? Or did it need to advance the dialogue?
I mean, I don't agree with half of the stuff that's in here. But, you know, and certainly the World Bank and the ITU has ample opportunity to express their, dominant position. But I think we're trying to get a spread also. And so
I know, but I'm not saying about whether I agree or disagree. I mean, I might even agree. In general, I'm a power to the people person. I just think it's just too cranky. It doesn't make progress on any of the issues. It just rehashes, you know, the standard, like, power to labor.
Let's put it as a maybe.
Choosing the material for our publication gave me a newfound respect for WISIS organizers who face similar challenges in creating a diverse and balanced summit, granted, on a much larger scale.
So the first calling took my 30-whatever and produced 10. Now, in theory, we're trying to produce 5 out of that 10, though in practice we're not doing a great job because most of them are getting yes or maybes.
Okay, so we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So this is your 10th one that is your top 5.
Well, I'm just going through the ones I like best.
Of course, at some point, the rubber had to actually meet the road.
I think it's a no.
Wow, okay. That's exciting.
It's sort of liberating.
Yeah.
For publication, we organized the final selections along 5 broad categories: WISIS process, human rights and speech, digital divide and finance, open source and intellectual property, and internet governance. These complex issues and the diverse ideas about them speak to the need for real discussion, but the important question remains whether WISIS will become an ongoing dialogue or fade into our memories as just another confusing and grandiose event. Looking back, we might recall the massiveness of the venue, so large that it was impossible to keep track of everything that was happening, let alone participate in it. The elusiveness of affordable and reliable internet access, even at the epicenter of the information society, made even more ironic when we learned that our whereabouts were tracked with RFID tags. Meeting in a city of tremendous culinary sophistication and expense, and therefore subsisting primarily upon terrible little plastic-encased sandwiches. And the doors to the plenary marked civil society, which left us to wonder about the nature of those using the other entrance. I hope that the journal reflections on WISIS will help keep us on track towards the ambitious goals laid out in Geneva, and also recognize that the formal version of history we create with ITID acts as a complement to the rest of our shared experiences, which likewise remind us of many of the key issues and barriers relating to the knowledge society, and that this collective knowledge is informative and valuable. You've been listening to Audio Berkman. This episode was produced by Benjamin Walker, Mary Bridges, and myself. My colleagues at ITID are Ernie Wilson and Mike Best. You can visit us on the web at www.mitpress.com/ITID. My name is Colin McClay. Thank you for listening.